Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Happy Football Sunday, everybody. And then there were six. We're down to six teams left in the NFL right now. Four teams going at it today, Steve.
That's
the ones
it.
We care about. The New Orleans Saints, three-time matchup now against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, going for the complete series season sweep.
I'm so worried teams can't beat another team three times in a row.
I've heard that. I don't know why.
That's a lazy way out. It's a bunch of crap. It's nothing. That doesn't mean anything.
Well, we've seen the Tampa Bay Buccaneers get dominated by this Saints squad in the regular season, and for some reason, folks think that can't happen for a third time. It's just not feasible. But if you look at the numbers we've seen in this case today, teams in the that have won the first two games and now in the third matchup, 14-7.
Well, it kind of blows that out of the water, doesn't it?
That doesn't sound like it's too much undoable.
Look, it is hard to win any game.
Any game.
Any game. I don't care what game it is.
Any playoff game, too.
Much less. But look, in this game, I'm always amazed at that. I mean, it takes so much work every single week by so many different people and so many different players and so many different coaches to win a football game. Whether you have to travel or not, it's irrelevant. My point is, just winning that game with the game plans and you know, offensively and defensively, and the install and the practice, and make sure the practices are practices that you want to replicate on the field, not just going out there and go through the motions, but practice, mental practice, all that stuff. Watching game film at night, watching game film when you get home, all that stuff is hours put into that of trying to win a game, and that's why it means so much every Sunday, you know, when these guys go out there to do this. Now it's playoff time. Obviously the stakes are much higher at this level. So, look, it's Tom Brady has done wonderful things for that team since they got there, but they've always had a great defense, and they still have a great defense. That's not going to change. And if you look at the teams that are in the playoffs this year, what's the common denominator? Defense. Look how many good the defenses are.
Right, that old saying of defense wins championships, and what do you know?
Well, this year it's sort of fanning the flames in that way, in that direction for sure. But look, I think he's a great player, and I'm speaking of Brady now.
Yeah.
I think he always has been a great player. Look, I think everybody kind of knows that he was in a really, really weak division for many, many years, and they just dominated that division. I think they won it 12 years in a row, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Unbelievable. Yeah, and then it's like, sorry, bro, you decided to come to the NFC South. Things are a little different
here. It's a little bit different. You know, we play really man football here, okay? This ain't the Jets and, you know, the Fish. So it's different, and I think he realized that. And look, kudos for him stepping up and wanting that. But look, their defense is the biggest thing I'm concerned about today. Will Brady get it done? You know, I think looking at the last, 5 weeks of there's a game film, the biggest difference that whole team is Antonio Brown offensively.
Mm-hmm.
He has made that much of a difference to them. Now, that doesn't mean that all of a sudden, you know, it's this, they're unbeatable because of this. You know, look, he's a good football player, and he was really one of the better receivers really in the league, you know, argumentatively, forever. I mean, he is really that kind of a prolific kind of a player. And then I don't know what he did. He went
a little mental sabbatical.
Yeah, he went the way of the white buffalo. I don't know, but he's back. And you know, we saw him, I think, that first game when he came back. And he was okay. I think he caught three balls or something like that for 30-something yards or something.
But yeah, it wasn't the impact
player. It wasn't anything
player
that you would see, you know, that was representative of Antonio Brown from the Steelers days. But since then, each and every week, he's pretty much stepped it up and has gotten back to really that form that I can see. So is he going to be a problem for us? Yeah, he'll be a problem for us. Gronkowski, yeah, we've had some issues before with tight ends, especially with our safeties trying to cover him and getting out with them. But look, they talk about all the weapons that they have, and you know,
we Mike can match up.
Mike Evans is a great player. Lattimore's done great jobs with him in the past. I'm sure they'll put Jack Rabbit on Antonio Brown, and then let things kind of fall where they may. Look, and then we're going to have DeMario Davis or maybe one of our slot corners or something on Gronkowski. Not a corner, but they'll have somebody on him to try to slow him down because he's a problem.
Maybe get CJ Gardner-Johnson talking in his ear.
That may be the best thing because it'll get him completely off his game. But look, I think that's. That's just the way that guy plays. I like it, and I think Sean likes it. I think he likes the fact that he kind of backs up that mouth a little bit, and I think it begins to get under the skin. And that's the way the guy motivates himself, and that's okay. I mean, that's it's something I never did. I never was good at talking a bunch of smack to anybody, but I'd certainly bark back at him about certain things or something. But I did most of my stuff, with my play. But it's going to be a fun game to watch, and I think that when you kind of watch these two guys go against each other, you know that this was going to be sort of an inevitable thing. At the beginning of the year, we all sat and talked at one form or another and said,
right,
this guy could be the Wilbury.
Especially the new playoff format and everything.
We're
going
to go into this new thing where it's not just that one team from that division that gets in. They're going to have a wild card, and sure enough, Tampa Bay stepped into that position, and now we're seeing these two guys come together. It's the first time we're having a playoff game between Breeze and Brady, which I think is going
to
be.
And Tom Brady has never lost to a team three times in one season. Might as well pack it up.
There's
going to
be
Saints.
All kind of first things that are happening today.
History in the Superdome.
That's
yes.
Right. So look, this is going to be a fun game to watch, and I think it's going to come down to that we played them twice this year. The first game was a close game, and right out the gate, I'm sure Tom was getting used to his team, and his team was getting used to him and all that. You can kind of go through all that kind of mess if you want to. They didn't have Antonio Brown, and then the second game was you can almost throw that out as an anomaly because I think it was 31-0 we had them beat at halftime, I think.
Unbelievable, right? In every facet possible, they were dominating.
It was like, oh, my God. So you almost have to throw that out because that's one of those ones that you either have on one side or the other every year. You either are that team that gets beat like that once a year, or you're that team that's fortunate enough to win that one once a year. But it's not representative of NFL execution, I guess the best way to put it. That doesn't happen very often when those things go so right, so fast, so quickly, and the other team has no answer for it. I think it's going to be a much closer game. I think it's supposed to be like a 3.5-point type thing. That's what it'll end up being. It'll end up being a 30-33 game, something like that.
Yeah, which has a lot of Saints fans obviously a little concerned because one of the strong points of this team has always been special teams, and our kicker right of late, Will Lutz, has gotten the yips a little and has
little
not
bit.
Been consistent.
Well, this would be a good time for him to get better.
It would be nice.
Okay, it'd be good. So, you want to score touchdowns when you have a drive. That's your goal each and every time you have an offensive drive is to score a touchdown. That's obvious. But when you have to settle for three, you're settling for three. You're not settling for zero.
Right.
Okay. And that's the part that can be a problem because, first of all, if you have to settle for three too often, you're not going to win those games. Okay. You got to score touchdowns, especially games like this. You got to score touchdowns, especially against a defense like this. You got to score touchdowns, especially against a team like this that has Tom Brady and all the weapons he has. You got to score touchdowns. So that's first and foremost. So if he doesn't have to kick a field goal today, I'd be tickled to death. I hope he just kicks extra points. Let's say that.
Right. I like that. Yeah. And we saw a kicker struggle yesterday as well. A guy that's usually automatic in
Tucker,
Baltimore.
Yeah.
Right.
Stoink. How does somebody hit a post twice?
Right. Unbelievable. And you have to figure with that offense struggling to generate anything, that's got to be so demoralizing.
Well, it certainly leaves you with a terrible feeling when you're walking off, from that field goal going awry
empty,
like that.
Nothing.
I mean, it's just like, oh, my God. Well, we spent like 8 minutes on that drive,
Yeah.
And of course, we're going to have to settle for three and doink. I mean, it's like, oh, I can't believe that. It's all for nothing. All it did was sort of keep their offense off the field. That's the only thing you did. Didn't help them.
No. In the right. End, right.
Did not help them.
We've got the Buffalo Bills moving on. Also, we know that we're going to, if the Saints can pull out this game, when they pull out this game, we'll be traveling to Green Bay Lambeau Field in January. Yeah. I've never,
that's a neat place to play.
I was going to say, never been up there, but it looks like a heck of a whole atmosphere.
It is a great place. It is a great field. The fans are terrific. I mean, you'd think, oh man, you know, you're going up to one of those places where they're ain't that like Chicago fans. It's not like Philly fans. It's not like these
respect.
Rude people. Yeah. I mean, those are those places you just they've pretty much I've written them off. But yeah, these you go to Green Bay, there's some classy people. Nice, friendly. They're just like New Orleans people, except they're like they want you to enjoy the game, but they just want their Packers to win. And that, what's wrong with that? So that's all we want. We just want you to enjoy the game, but we want our Saints to win.
Right. They got beers and brats. We've that's got, it. You know, we got different.
Yeah,
you know,
we got all kind of stuff. We got etouffee and we got
gumbo and all that. Po' boys.
Po' boys and, you know, yeah.
But yeah, that would be a fun trip up there. Hopefully we get to see that next Sunday. Today at 5:40, though, this epic matchup now between Drew Brees, Tom Brady, everybody's been talking about. And I think that the general feeling is that people are afraid to pick against Tom Brady, why I think so many analysts may be going in that direction and saying that it's hard to beat a team three times because they just don't – they can't wrap their head around Tom Brady losing in the playoffs, I think.
Well, look, when I go back to the years when he was in New England, okay, I just go back, I don't know, 5 or 6 years from now, I would have never bet on against Tom Brady because he was in a situation to where they were winning so often and so – efficiently, and their defense was playing so good at the time that you always knew that when they had the ball that there was a chance for them to win, and they proved it each and every time. And that's the thing that stuck to people that are watching the games closely, or the people that bet games, which makes them really watch it closely, right? That's the thing that you think I should never bet against this guy, because now look what's going on. He's going to get the ball back. There's 53 seconds left. They got a timeout left, and he's only got to go 80 yards. Well, you think that's yeoman's work, but it's not for those guys. And that's how good those guys are. And so when you do that prolifically over and over and over again, then you sort of have this track record of being that kind of guy that's so clutch when it comes down to it. And so that's why, you know, you wouldn't bet against him. I mean, there's times I wouldn't bet against him. I'd bet against him today because I think the whole dynamic has changed. You know, he's not in New England. He's not in a weak conference anymore. They're not, you know, were they 12-4? Okay, that's pretty good. But at the same time, you look at the rosters that he has now against the rosters that we have, our roster is just thicker and better than they are. I mean, you could kind of go, you know, tit for tat, you know, as far as the – you know, wideouts and what happens there and the receivers that they got. As far as using, you know, the tight end and things like that, okay, he's got a really good tight end, a Hall of Fame tight end. But we use the tight ends better than anybody. Sean's offense does. The running game, I don't think there's any question we got a better running game. Even if without Latavius Murray being there or Taysom being there, I think we've got a better running game. And I think that goes down to the thing that counts the most, and that's the offensive line.
The big
offensive
boys.
Line is great for Tampa. They're good. They're not great. We have a much better offensive line than Tampa does, and I think it's going to show today.
I think another big key, maybe not talked about enough, Steve, is the advantage at head coach. Bruce Arians versus Sean Payton. It's Sean Payton all day.
Sean Payton is one of the most creative guys in football minds in the National Football League, and I think he shows it each and every week, you know, and the different things that he's had to face, the different adversities he's had to face, the different things he's had to, like, you know, pull out of his hat to do different things on the fly, things that the halftime changes that they make. Are incredible. I always feel so much better knowing that, well, we're coming out of halftime. It could have been a rough first outing for us or a first half for us. Now I think, okay, we'll win the second half. We got the game. Well, and how many times does that happen? It happens all the time.
This black and gold team going for a third straight win over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 5:40 kickoff on WWL Saints Radio. The Bud Light countdown to kickoff coming up after us at 3 o'clock. And it'll be leading you up to the game time in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. Want to hear from you, Who Dat Nation. Give us a call, 504-260-1870. Coming back with more First Take right after this.
Tom and I have known each other for a long time and been playing against each other since 1999. You know, maybe before a lot of guys that were on the field with were born, you know. So I think, like I said, there's a friendship there. There's a mutual respect there. I think we have a lot of things in common, and a lot of things that we both value and appreciate that are very much the same.
Saints quarterback Drew Brees talking about his opponent today, Tom Brady, who he's got a 5-2 record against, Steve. Even though that folks love to bring up that Tom Brady never lost to an opponent three times in one season. Saints look to change that today at 5:40 kickoff. Right, get ready for more history.
History will be made, not in a good part for him.
When you look at what Tom Brady has done, though, over the years, obviously impressive, six Super Bowl titles, and coming to Tampa Bay, you know there's kind of that space inside his head where he's trying to prove something, that he can do this without a Bill Belichick. I truly believe that.
I'm not so sure how much stock he puts in that at this point. In other words, I don't think today he's thinking, well, I'm going to show Belichick.
Right, okay.
You know what I'm saying? I think if I know players the way I know players, he is so fine-tuned into what's going on, and with everything with going on with him and Bruce Arians at this point and what his offense has to do, that might be something he thinks about, you know,
afterwards. I got you.
Okay, no matter what happens, it might be something about that after that. But I don't think it. I think the Belichick and the Tom Brady thing, I think is a combination of things that they both had this synergistic thing where they both fed off each other on this certain success that they had up there. Belichick ran the defense and ran it in a great way. There was a bunch of really no-name guys up there that ended up. I mean, those defenses were stout every year. And I guess, again, they didn't play in a great division, but every time they played somebody outside the division, you know, they did real well. Okay. You don't get that many Super Bowl rings without having, you know, those great defenses, and they did. And I think that, you know, you get somebody like Tom Brady, who really has sort of a command of the offense that he did, and the things that he got along with well with his offensive coordinators and, you know, and the offensive lines that they put together and the types of game plans they put together. They weren't fancy. They were just sort of straight-ahead football, and they just executed things so well. That you know, you can't give them anything but credit. I mean, he did great things. It wasn't anything fancy. It wasn't anything trick. They played great defense. They played great special teams. They played, you know, they didn't turn the ball over. They protected the football, and then they played great offense. And so,
they taped some practices. They deflated some footballs.
Yeah, they did all that. They did all that. And so I don't think, like I said before, I don't think it's a thing between him and Belichick. I think it's Belichick probably looks back on those days and wishes that he had somebody like Tom Brady. And I think, you know, Tom Brady probably says, hey, that was a great football, great run with that guy. I don't think he has any kind of animosity towards him or any kind of anything he has to prove. I don't think he has anything to prove to anybody about the Belichick thing. I just don't.
I think it's definitely something, for me at least, I would want to prove to the world that it wasn't, you know, Bill Belichick. I think so many people think or have called Tom Brady a system quarterback, which is just wrong.
Well, then they don't know football. If they're calling him a system quarterback, then they don't know what they're talking about. He's anything but
that. Well, we've seen that Belichick wasn't able to just plug anybody in there. Cam Newton didn't have the same success
this year.
There you
go. And look, he looked to me like he looked defeated as a coach.
Belichick?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he looked to me like he was just, boy, he wasn't having a fun year. You could tell he was just, I bet he had some fever blisters.
A bunch of people too opt out in the beginning of the year.
Yeah, and he just really, it just really kind of started out rough for him. And I think that there was also, you know, hey, can you, Bill, do it without Tom? You know,
of course I can.
And
look,
and of course he's saying, of course I can. I'm a great football coach. And he is. He's a great football coach. You can't take anything away from him. But look, players, you think Sean Payton's record would be different if Drew wasn't here?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hands down, yeah.
Okay. Players make, especially really good players in a certain really, really key positions, make coaches really, really good. Okay, and I'm not saying Sean Payton is not really good. He's great, okay? But he also knows how lucky and fortunate he is to have somebody like Drew Brees that's been at the helm since 2006. That's a huge key, and I think it's the same thing. If you go back and you talk to Bill Belichick, he's going to say, man, I'm so lucky to have Tom Brady, you know, come to us in the sixth round of the draft, and, you know, look what happened.
Yeah.
Bledsoe goes out, he comes in, and the rest is history, you know. I mean, they had a hell of a run. And so it's any time you have a kind of a quarterback thing, and because the quarterback is so visible with what they do, they get so much more criticism when things go bad,
and
they
all
get
the
so much
the
more
blame,
they
right?
get all the praise and everything when things go great, and all of it's way out of, skewed way out of proportion, okay. Good quarterbacks know that, hey, they're good, but they're only as good as their wide receivers that catch the ball. They're only as good as their offensive linemen that protect him from getting hit. You know, it's a team game first and foremost. And so they realize that, but still, because of the visibility of that position, they're lauded much more on the negative and positive side.
Much of the talk today, too, is Steve, is that this could very well be Drew Brees' last home game, his last game in general, if they, you know, the Saints were to lose this matchup because of all the talk that this is his final season and plans to retire. I know that it's a future that nobody wants to really think about. I know a lot of fans are ready to move on to the next quarterback or the next great thing, but finding that replacement for your franchise quarterback, the guy to lead you into battle every single week, is a lot. Finding him is a lot easier said than done.
Ooh, you just said something that made me feel like I lost my puppy.
Oh no!
Yeah, I mean, I haven't thought of it that way yet. I guess because I'm still in the mode of we're still playing.
Right.
The finality of anything hasn't hit yet, and I hope it's not final today. So, but if that was the case, I'm thinking, man, that is a, and he doesn't play anymore. Ooh. I mean, that's a. I've told people years ago, we should be really, really happy and really thankful that we have this guy and we're playing, and you're in a time era where you're watching this guy play.
Because yeah, not everybody moves on from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers.
No, it just doesn't happen. You know, it it happens occasionally, but you know, the game goes on, and there'll be another quarterback at that position next year. But yeah, it might not be him, and that's a sobering thought.
20 years in the NFL, Steve, was absolutely unbelievable.
That's twice what I played, and more than twice, actually. And, you know, he's been played at such a high level for so long and has done he's the consummate pro. I mean, you watch the everything he does and the stuff that you can't see and don't know about but that you hear about, and you're just amazed at a guy that – and it makes you feel good that a guy in that position that's in charge of your team's – offense is pretty much doing everything he possibly can do to make himself a better pro every single day, no matter how old he gets.
I loved talking with Alvin Kamara on the Zoom calls this week, and he mentioned, you know, the competitiveness of Drew Brees, what really stood out to you over the years about him kind of thing. And he basically said it's just everything he does is a competition. If he goes to throw a Gatorade bottle like, you know, shooting a hoops and misses the garbage can, he's Kamara says it's like Brees through an interception the way he reacts to it. So
I get it.
We've seen those QB competitions, even those fun things after practice.
When
he is definitely wants to win at everything he does. And I think if every competitor should want to be like that.
And I think more of the ultra competitors are like that than you think. They don't get to show it quite as often because there's not these types of little contests and things that go on.
Right.
I mean, we go to a family barbecue or something like that, and if they're playing horseshoes, damn it, I'm winning. And if I don't win, I am pissed.
Yeah, man, okay? Gotta get them bragging rights.
So, and it has nothing to do with anything. You know, everybody else is having a good time, and I realize I'm getting all lathered up here because, you know, I missed it last time, you know. And so I think anybody that is that gets to this level of play, especially for a long period of time, has that kind of competitive thing. For God's sakes, I'm 61 years old and I'm competing in powerlifting contests. Why?
Because that's who you are. That's
exactly,
your being.
That's exactly right. And I'll be damned if I quit. I just won't. It's not proven it to anybody else. It's just proven it to me. Well, that's all that matters.
When you see some of these guys, what they're doing on the offensive line and the training techniques they're doing nowadays, is it any different from some of the things you did?
Way different. Way, way, way different. We lifted just more traditional weights back in the day. It worked, but you know, they have so much more dynamic stuff now that they use now that helps them with more sports-specific things that they do. Things that are really specific to offensive linemen, things that are specific to guys that play in the secondary. You know, they do so many different things that are attributable to the things that they do on the field. We didn't do as much of that. Ours was mostly, hey, you just got to get bigger, stronger, and faster, you know. And that's sort of the ultimate goal of everything. But, you know, there's a lot of times you would have injuries and things like that because of that. And they've sort of taken that. Guys don't get nearly as injured as much in their workouts off season as they used to because of that. They're smarter at what they do. The nutrition's better. You know, they have guys. I mean, they dietitians that watching their diet. They got the guys that are watching every single thing they move, every kind of weight they move, every kind of percentage that they do. They're watching them. You know, where it wasn't like that back in the day.
Good news for this Saints offensive line coming into this matchup healthy. We love that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we do know that Will Clapp did end up on the reserve COVID-19 list. No other contact tracing issues, though, within the Saints. So he's the only one that ended up on the COVID-19
list.
Well,
that's good for us. Bad for Will, but I hope he's not sick. I hope he's okay.
Right, not feeling any of the effects
right,
or anything.
And we certainly miss him as our unit tight end. Certainly, I mean, you see him going there many times. Sean loves to use that heavy side, you know, where he'll unload or load up a side one way or the other. You see him doing that all the time. And, of course, he's our backup guy. He can play a lot of different positions. So anytime you take a guy out like that, you're going to miss him.
Going into the game, the Saints on Friday listed quarterback Taysom Hill and running back Latavius Murray as questionable.
Yeah.
This morning, NFL Network and some other splash reports in the morning saying those two are unlikely to play. We're going to have to find out more when we see what they do during warmups. But obviously, Steve, Hill and Murray being out kind of has a big impact on the Saints' run game.
Well, it does, because Latavius, he's one of those guys that when they do put him in and he gets in a rhythm, he can get it going. He's a horse.
Yeah, he's usually 4.5
yards. He can get it done. And at the same time, when you look at what Tampa's done to us in the past, I think they held Alvin the first couple times to like 3 yards. Okay, that's not getting it done, and that's getting it done on Tampa's part, but it's not getting it done for Alvin Kamara and the offensive line for the Saints. So, look, Latavius is a guy that's always a great the guy to give Alvin a blow.
Yeah, that change of pace.
That change
you know?
Of pace kind of a back. He's a big kind of a horse guy, but he's got this kind of uncharacteristic speed. He kind of looks like he's kind of falling down the stairs when he's going doing it. It's not real pretty, but it's not like smooth, silky Alvin Kamara. But, man, he's banging forward, and he's getting a lot of yards, and he's getting some tough yards. And at the same time, you know, when you talk about Taysom Hill and the physicality that he brings, you know, to that spot, look, if it's quarterback power right or quarterback power left, Taysom Hill's going to get some yards. You know, I mean, he's probably the hardest runner we have, no question, as far as a kind of a bull. But he is absolutely going to be missed, because there's so many different things that we do with him, you know, in that sort of Swiss Army knife fashion, whether he's throwing the pass, whether he's catching it, whether he's running it. There's so many different things that the defensive coordinators had to be cognizant of, you know, when he's on the field, that now, okay, that sort of leaves us a little bit blank. I expect a big day out of Alvin Kamara.
AK, baby. The Oakland Heart Rolex time check, 140. That's a whole 4 hours until kickoff, Steve, in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. Bucks Saints getting you ready for a historic matchup between Brady and Breeze, first time in the playoffs, and hopefully the Saints get that sweep over the Bucks. Tom Brady has never lost to a team 3 times in 1 year until today. Want to hear from you, Who Dat Nation. Give us a call, 504-260-1870. Coming back with more First Take right after these words. Those are the numbers. Give us a call on First Take, 504-260-1870. Saints Radio Network would like to congratulate First American Bank, as they've been named the Independent Community Bankers of America to its 2020 Best Community Banks to Work For. Congratulations to the employees of First American Bank. Steve, first up, we're getting to Miss Carol on the line. How you doing today, Miss Carol?
Miss Carol.
Twice.
Goodbye. Are you there?
Oh, we'll hopefully get the call back from Miss Carol. I know she is a diehard Who Dat, getting ready for this game at 5:40 in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. Tom Brady versus Drew Brees. And it could be the very last time we see Drew in a Saints uniform today. Could be the last time we see him in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. The Saints team does win. We know they'll be going to Green Bay for the NFC Championship, and then hopefully Tampa Bay for the Super Bowl. But, Steve, what an amazing career we've gotten to witness Drew Brees since coming to New Orleans. Thankfully, the Miami Dolphins doctors failed him, his physical, and he was able to come here. Here's what Drew Brees had to say about playing now 20 years in the NFL.
I've always loved athletics. I've always loved to compete. I've loved the grind. I've loved the preparation. I've loved all that, the process that goes into actually then competing on Sunday. So much of that is part of the fun, and that's what drives you and to be your absolute best. And that is what the competition is about. It's about the opportunity to compete and find ways to win.
And Steve, so much for me, I think, from the former players that I hear talking about not just missing the game, it's really that locker room atmosphere, the guys that you're with, the guys you're fighting for. And Drew Brees has mentioned that, too. It's like, that's a big reason he came back.
I was kind of just going to reflect on that some. I know that he's talking about the grind, going through the grind and everything. And look, I understood that. That's something that you do automatically, that you probably did before you even knew that you were going to be a professional football player, because that's the kind of stuff that gets you to where you're going to go, is that grind and that sacrifice of, you know, hey, your friends are all going doing this, and they're all going to do this, and they want you to go here with them, and they want you to do that, and you're saying, nuh-uh, I got to get in another, 10 stadium steps, and I got to hit the weight room for another hour. I mean, those are just things that you automatically do, and it becomes part of your life and part of your persona and who you are. And those things lead you into the opportunities to compete at such a high level. And then when those opportunities come along, you're ready for them. And so you can tell that Drew Brees' preparedness and his preparation for those types of things, he leaves no stone unturned. He's going to make sure that he does everything he's supposed to do. He's going to get his diet right. He's going to get his rest right. He's going to get his his workouts right. He's going to get his recovery right, whatever that takes, masseuse, whatever he's got to do, he's got to get that thing right. And he makes sure that all that stuff is part of a plan to make sure that he's ready on a certain day with a target day, in mind. So when you see a guy like that, that has that kind of professional wherewithal, you miss, you don't have to, now that I'm out of football, I still go through those types of machinations of being ready. I don't know what I'm getting ready for, but I'm never missing workouts. I'm always still watching my diet. I'm still, doing all the things.
That regimen is just ingrained in you.
It's ingrained in you, and you just can't stop it. You're still, waking up at the same time. You're still trying to get the rest you're supposed to need. You're still doing all the things you need to do, but then you look and there's nothing you're really doing it for. It's just there still. It's like a fire horse answering the bell. He still answers the bell, you know? It's a hard habit to break, and a lot of times the reality of it is when you realize how much you miss it, when you realize how much you miss those guys. That's the thing that I miss most of anything, is the guys, is the my offensive line guys, the guys in the locker room, all the just the cool stuff that would, the conversations and the things and the happenings that would happen in there and do in there and. That sort of a esprit de corps that you have with those people is different.
Right.
Really, really different.
You can't even call it family, right?
No, it's not. It's not family. It's just a
brotherhood.
Yeah, it's kind of a common respect that you have about it, and it's a unique feeling.
Coming back with more First Take right after this. Give us a call, 504-260-1870. Want to hear from you, Who Dat Nation, as we get ready for Saints-Buccaneers 540 in the Superdome on WWL. Wrapping up the first hour of First Take here on WWL Saints Radio. Kickoff in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, 540. We've got the second hour coming up next with WWL NFL analyst Mike Dettillier going inside his notebook by Thibodeau Regional Health System, a nationally recognized hospital.
And it's a big notebook.
Patient-centered excellence. Yes, indeed. He knows about all those draft picks, and we'll break down some of those Buccaneers. I know that we've got some former LSU Tiger over there might be getting a little more run in the backfield because of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers situation. Mm-hmm. So we could see Leonard Fournette a whole lot more today. Would be interesting to see the former St. Aug Purple Knight.
Last couple of times we've exposed one of our former Tigers too in a linebacker position. But look, he's a hell of a player, and I'm speaking of Devin White, but at the same time we had to turn him around a few times, and I think that's all probably in the game plan again today.
Coming back with more First Take right after this. Want to hear from you, Who Dat Nation. Give us a call, 504-260-1870. Kickoff in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, 540. How you feeling about this game? A lot of people want to talk about how it's so hard to beat a team three times. We know that's not true. But how are you feeling about this playoff matchup in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome? Could be very well Drew Brees' last game ever. Could be the last home game ever. And we're going to see more of number nine in this black and gold squad. I want to see him moving on, going on to Green Bay, and then hopefully the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going down. 540 here on WWL Saints Radio. Hear from you coming back right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.